Our epistle for this third Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" He answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water. But in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place at Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
the Lord is near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the epistle and gospel seem to be a little shorter, but there is so much packed in to the epistle and gospel for our consideration, if we but take a look. I'd like to focus more on the epistle today. Of course, we know it's Gaudete Sunday. The priest is wearing rose-colored vestments, reminding us during this penitential season, we're not going through a penitential season with a melancholy, but there's a purpose, because there's a want. And that want, especially by the efforts that we make, prompts a joy. We're preparing our hearts for Christ to be born anew at Christmas time, perfected in our hearts at Christmas time. That's why St. Paul begins the epistle, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Too many people try to find joy in other things, and all they find is dead end. They try to make up for themselves their own purpose in life, and all they have are dead ends. Because that's all you have if your end isn't the Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He must be in our equation for life. Otherwise, our life has very little, if any, purpose. We cannot have joy. Oh, you can have moments of pleasure and moments of maybe sensual fulfillment, but you can't have lasting pleasure. What follows those temporary fulfillments of fallen human nature is guilt, darkness, sadness, spiritual melancholy, no peace. Because you can't have peace if you don't have the Lord. But if you have the Lord, then you have every reason to rejoice, because you have the solution to every problem. You have the answer to every question. You have a reason and purpose to why you live. Let your moderation be known to all men. Moderation comes from the Greek word for modesty. Those are similes. The Greek word which is translated modesty means more than just dressing decently. It means fairness, kindness, gentleness, moderation, self-restraint, not insisting on strict judgment. These are the qualities by which I am to be known to all men because the Lord is near. They're going to know that I am preparing for something greater than myself, something greater than them, something greater than what's in the world. St. Paul tells us we don't chastise our body and bring it into subjection to no purpose. We have a reason. We have a reason to be good and to be kind and to be loving. What is that reason? Well, it follows the next sentence. The Lord is near. Now here it is important for us to consider our faith. How near is the Lord? Is the Lord near to us just like a concept that's out there? Yeah, I mean, I believe in the Lord. It's just one of those things we talk about, and especially when we feel that it's appropriate to. We find ourselves in some type of struggle or turmoil, and of course, somehow it's important for us to bring the Lord into the equation. We're burying a loved one, perhaps, or we're at a wedding. Well, I guess it's probably good for us to talk about the Lord here a little bit. Or is the Lord a reality to us? A part of our day, each day, every day? Because nobody can make the Lord a part of your day but you. He wants to be. And he wants you to be a part of his eternity. But he won't violate choice. Each individual person has a choice. Is the Lord near to us each day? Do we call upon the name of the Lord? I shall call upon the name of the Lord and I shall be saved from my enemies. And this is where we go back to that notion of daily prayer. Do I pray? I'm not talking about words that I say that I call prayers, but I'm talking about communication with God, talking with him and letting him talk to us. The Lord is near. We come to church on Sunday. Do I really believe that I'm in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Most people who call themselves Catholics today, truth be told, they don't believe in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And this is where we ask ourselves, do I believe in the true presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Do I consider myself near to him right here, right now? Or is this one of those things that, Catholics believe that, I guess I do. That's hogwash. Either he is a reality to us or he is not. But then we have to take it to the next step. We're not just in his presence here, but we have the opportunity to be one with him, to receive him in Holy Communion. And he's near within us, near to our heart, one with us. If we ask him and we want him and we do what we need in order to make that happen. Getting rid of all things that stand in the way of our relationship with him. Is he this near to me or is that not a possibility because I really don't want it? I rather stick to my entertainments, to my dead ends, to my pleasures. And somehow, like an ostrich, hide my head in the sand and don't come to grips with the reality of why I am here. Which kind of has us point to the gospel where they're asking John, who are you? Who art thou? Who are we? Do I consider myself a disciple of Christ? Do I act accordingly? Or is that just a notion that sometimes, maybe once a week, I kind of hint at? Or is it a daily occurrence that I live by? I am a disciple of Christ. I will live according to his dictations. I will deny myself. I will take up my cross. I will follow him. The Lord is near. There's another point where this points. Place where this points where we should consider, and that is our final judgment. because it's just a moment away. Whenever our time is up, we will be called before him, and the Lord will be near. And there, we will see the choice that we have made, whether we wanted to be one with God in time or not. If we lived a life of selfishness or selflessness. If we really understood and believed that we are creatures of a heavenly Father, we are his children, and we lived as such. Yeah, so the Lord is near. Is it something for us to be afraid of? No, it's something for us to rejoice in if we accept it. If you don't accept it, yeah, then there's plenty to be fearful of. Because you're just playing games with grace is given. But if you acknowledge, yep, the Lord is near, I have every opportunity to be saved from my fallen human nature, from the world, and from the devil. And he's near. He waits for me to become one with him. That's why St. Paul goes on to the next line. He says, have no anxiety. What's anxiety? It's worry. A priest once said in a sermon, I remember when I was in high school, he said, worrying is atheism. Like, I remember pausing for a moment thinking about it, and it stuck with me ever since. Way back when I was in high school, worrying atheism. How is worrying atheism? Because you really don't have a belief and faith in God if you're giving place to worry. That doesn't mean that you are wrong because you have feelings of worry, you have anxiety. Have no anxiety, it means, what do you do with it? Cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. That's what Scripture tells us. If he's a part of our equation, we have something to do with that fear, something to do with that worry. And either we truly call upon the name of the Lord or we don't, because we can't. And we can't because we don't have the faith and belief in him, in his true presence. Not just a fancy story that happened a long time ago or we find in a book called the Bible, but the reality of his presence in my day, in today. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. What do you ask for? Do you ask for things that are worthless? Or do you ask, like the blind man, Lord, that I may see? Lord, bid me to come unto thee. Be a part of my day. Do I take the time to count the blessings that I have? Because we have been given so many blessings. The blessings that were given today, this day, here, in a few moments, when the Lord is near on the altar and when he comes to us in Holy Communion. What more do we need? He is everything. If we believe, we can have. If we don't believe, then what do we have? If we do believe, and we do call upon the name of the Lord, he brings to us that thing which we crave most. Peace. Peace of heart, peace of soul. Peace can only come to a person of goodwill. Like the angels said on that blessed night to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace to men of goodwill. What is a man of goodwill? What's a person of goodwill? A person of goodwill is one who wants God's will and strives after it. And then you can have a peace which surpasses all understanding. Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, Christ tells us. Not as the world gives do I give. It's a heavenly peace. But we can have it here and now. Reminds me of classes that I've given, theology classes I've given to students, high school students, junior high students in the past. And I ask them, when does heaven and hell begin? And they say, well, when you die. Oh, that's incorrect. Who sends you to heaven and hell? And they say, God. I go, that's incorrect. What's the answer? Heaven and hell start now. And we decide. He's already made his decision. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven. He has given us that opportunity, but he will not force us to be with him in heaven forever. For love isn't forced. Otherwise, it's not love. Who sends us to heaven or hell? We do. We make the decision. What is heaven? Heaven is being with God. Hell is being without God. Heaven and hell start now. If you are one with God, then your heaven has begun. You have peace of soul. You're still in a testing state. You don't have the full joy of heaven. You still have to pass the test and live the duration of your life out according to his will. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, is how St. Paul ends the gospel, or the epistle today. And we have to guard our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has to be our Alpha, our Omega, our beginning, our end. We have to place ourselves daily in the presence of God. Not just make it a fancy thought that we hear about in church from time to time, but a reality in our daily lives. And then you have a joy. You can rejoice in the Lord always. You have a peace that lasts from time to eternity. This is what's offered to us. And in realizing this gift that he brings and gives to us and offers to us, we have every reason to be happy and to rejoice. So my dear friends in Christ, in this halfway point of Advent, let us consider, who am I? What am I doing? Where's my life at? Let's be really honest with ourselves. And if there's things that we need to change, let's change them. Not get all discouraged by them. Oh no, I'm so horrible because I did. No, he knows our weakness. He knows our needs to our weakness. He is no stranger. That's why he's given us confession. He gives us himself. But let's make a change that just doesn't happen on one day for a little bit of time. But let's try to make a change that happens every day. Let us strive to perfect our relationship with him and getting closer to him each day. The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.